Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nice to have you with us. Hope you're having a delightful summer. I know you may be listening to this at some point when it's a podcast, and it might be the middle of winter when you're listening to it, but right now it's summer while we're doing this, and I hope you're having a great summer indeed. Our guest today is having a beautiful day in the city of Seattle, in that area where she lives. We've been doing this series of broadcasts now with Christine Rose, who is an incredible certified business and executive coach. She is a Taylor Protocol certified career coach, and she's just a fabulous guest, and she's a very, very knowledgeable lady. She's in the midst of doing a new book. The book is written. It's about ready to come out now, and we've been talking about the book and the things that she writes in it, and we're going to continue that conversation with us. Through her book and her counsel, Christine is hoping to empower as many women as she can, and their male allies as well. As a coach, you know, she does this every day. She deals with people every day. She enjoys helping her clients, really, particularly women in business. There is no doubt that women can converse, you know, I guess, have a better relationship with other women as a coach. Some people may say that's not true, but I can understand why a woman would go, a businesswoman would want to consult with a woman as a coach who has that kind of a background and who really is a really good coach. They can communicate really well. In any event, Christine enjoys helping her clients, as we said, women in business, to help master leadership skills, such as communication, which is so critically important, influence, and executive presence. As she says, you get more information on those components of her mastermind class from her website. By the way, Christine really has a great website. You ought to go look it up, christinerose.coach. You'll find out all kinds of information about Christine, but you're going to get a lot of it right now when Christine joins us on the line from Seattle. So let's not waste any more time. We're going to continue the series of conversations with Christine and just say, hey, good morning, Christine. It's afternoon here on the East Coast, but it's still morning where you are, and it looks like it's going to be a nice day, right, when the sun comes up and it's high in the sky?
Oh, there's just no more beautiful place in the world. Seattle in the summer, it's beautiful. And hello to you, Doug, and all the listeners. It's great to be with you today.
Well, thank you. Welcome back. Hope you had a nice weekend. One of the things that we were going to talk about today, and it's interesting, I don't know much about this. You write about culture in your book and the culture war on women. And I didn't know there was a culture war going on women. Is there really such a thing going on? Tell me about it, because I need to learn.
Yeah, Doug, it's part of the book, Life Beyond Me Too. You can learn more about, you can actually see the war happening on the Facebook page if you go to Facebook and you write in Life Beyond Me Too. And the fact of life on the planet today is that there's absolutely a culture war happening. So culture we define as customary beliefs, social forms, material traits of a racial, religious, or social group, the characteristic features of everyday life shared by people in a place or time. And so if you think about gender as a social grouping, you can see where the war happens. And war, war is defined as a state of conflict or antagonism or struggle or competition between opposing forces. So if you're a female, you know the struggle is real. And if you're female, you probably know that as a group, as a social group, you've been on the losing side. I mean, you've been a loser because it has started before birth. I mean, and we didn't need to have an equal rights amendment. We didn't need to have you know, a men's suffrage movement for men to earn the right to vote. We didn't need to have.
True.
we didn't. Right. So it's kind of it's been culture, and so it starts so young, all over the world. I mean, even before birth, Doug. When you think about the fact that people are choosing to abort children because of the mere fact that they happen to be female. And then even if they are born, there's female infanticide that happens. So there's the gender war starts before birth, and it keeps on going. So in the United Nations, they did a report on conflict-related sexual violence in 2017, and they defined gender-based violence in terms of rape, sexual slavery, forced prostitution, forced pregnancy, abortion, forced sterilization.
Wow.
Forced marriage.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
this stuff happens, and it's happening because these are women and they don't value them as human beings. And so the war on the culture war that puts somebody in a position of being unequal to someone else impact them the whole culture. Absolutely.
Do you're highly educated. You're a very knowledgeable lady. Have you experienced this yourself in your growing up, a culture war aspects against you as a young lady?
Oh, Doug, and we'll get into my personal story a little bit, but in fact, the culture sexualizes young girls. And, I personally experienced that. I experienced being used as an object, as somebody who grew up in a home where there were three sexual abusers in my home. So, absolutely. But it's beyond me. In fact, when a person's worth is assumed to come from, their sexuality and above other things, it's really seeped into the culture. And we see that in how people dress and act and how people, what they wear. I mean, I've seen babies in T-shirts that say future porn star on them. Right, that you can buy online. I mean, that's sexualization. And in the Western culture, it's increasingly sexualized, and with girls being the target preeminently. And it's really gone global. And, it's happened at a younger and younger age. So, where kids wear makeup, they've done studies on this. So there was one study in Knox College that found that even the choice of dolls are showing the prevalence of sexualization and self-sexualization in girls, even like as young as 6 to 9 years old, where when they show the girls different paper dolls, when in tight revealing clothing, looking like, kind of the rock star look that we have nowadays, and then they're in a more modest looking outfit, the girls are picking the sexy doll more prevalently than the non-sexy doll, because culture is saying you're more valuable when we sexualize you than you are just as a human. And as a result, the self-objectification is being rampant in our culture. So 80% of 10-year-old girls in the U.S. have reported that they've been on a diet. And, the number one thing girls wish for from ages 11 to 17 is to be thinner. So the sexualization absolutely is rampant and runs through the culture.
Wow. Well, I listened to you spell this out. It is kind of a serious issue. Let me just ask you a little bit about how you treat this in your book, because you do write about it. What are you saying about this to the people who are going to read the book? What are they going to learn from it? How do you explain that?
Well, I hope they say, wow, this is a serious issue, So I hope that that's what they do. Because what I'm trying to do as a coach is just to create awareness. Part of the reason why I have a chapter called The Culture War on Women is that when there's a war going on that nobody's really talking about, and there are people talking about it. I mean, there are books out here on this, so people can just Google, you know, how, you know, objectification of girls or, you know, rape culture or whatever. I mean, there's all sorts of people that have written about this long before this book. But I do take some time in the book, and the goal is to raise awareness and to help people say, oh, okay, so maybe this is something we need to be thinking about. Maybe we need to be aware, because if a value, what happens with culture is that the customary beliefs and the traits and the characteristics that people share are being defined by somebody who's, you may or may not be aware of them, but mm-hmm. but if you're participating in it without awareness, you know, the shaping you. And so as a coach, my goal for my clients or for the people that I work with is that they recognize what they have control of, and that they engage in ways that help them move towards their goals and their visions. And if we want, if the culture wants to shift, you know, and Me Too was a kind of a cry, a heart cry from millions of women saying that this culture that led to the kind of violence that people were talking about in their Me Too stories, if we want to shift so that the next generation or the generation after that isn't going to continue to come out with Me Too stories, we need to look at what feeds the thoughts and the actions that that impact people negatively. And that's the point of looking at the culture war against women.
Well, it's a big subject. You know, they say education, obviously, is the grand equalizer. How about gender? How does gender impact the way that kids are treated in schools? What about that?
Okay, so we do know that education wasn't historically offered to girls for a long time. And when it was, it generally didn't include any history of women, except as a sidebar to the history of war and politics that was dominated by males. Women have had no professional role models of their gender beyond female staff of academies and universities up until, this last few generations. And so women were really focused solely on teaching or just educating young children, and males were the ones that had the privilege of graduating at a higher rate than women in colleges and universities. Now, equalization is meaning that women are becoming more educated and becoming equipped to perform in good-paying jobs and becoming equipped to choose careers that reward them both, you know, intellectually and socially and financially. But we still have a long way to go in terms of how people are treated in schools. So even as late as about 15 years ago, there was a report done at the University of Wisconsin that reviewed the differences, the sex differences in how boys and girls learn. And in the studies, it showed that really they were very minuscule and virtually non-existent. But what the recent research has shown is that the gender gap in math achievement was actually caused by teachers' low estimation of girls' ability. And so there's some personal examples I know of where I saw girls that wanted to get into advanced math classes, and the teacher said, well, you're not capable of that. And the girl said, well, let me show you, got into the advanced math classes and did great. So this happens not just in the U.S., but globally all over. UNESCO tracks education around the globe, and more girls are still out of school than boys. 16 million girls are never going to set foot in a classroom, and two-thirds of the 750 million adults without basic literacy skills are girls. So we need to do more. We need to do more to make sure that everyone is getting access to education, and especially in socioeconomically disadvantaged areas, that girls are getting to school and that they are getting the same education as boys are.
Well, that's really very interesting to consider. I'm wondering about the people that you deal with, the ladies, and I know you deal with mostly women as in your role as a coach and executive coach. Do you find examples of an impact on them because of this so-called culture war on women, that it has affected them in one way or another? Is that something you encounter very often?
Yeah, and, you know, actually, I do work with males and females. And I, you know, I work with business owners. Women tend to find me and refer people to me. And so, you know, a lot of my clients have been women, but I do work with business owners. And, you know, from the very beginning, I mean, we get into what happens in clients' stories. And oftentimes, you know, when it comes to businesses, the culture war on women is that they can't get funding, or that they're getting funded at a much lower rate than male-owned businesses just because they happen to be women. And that is very real out there. Also, even in careers, if you just look at who's at the top of corporations and actually the percentage of people in C-suite roles, and I'm fortunate to work with women business owners, so they're in the C-suite role because they started the company. But when you're in a larger corporate environment, there is definitely gender and culture-based discrimination that happens in hiring and in advancing, and even in how you show up at work, you know, and it impacts how people it impacts how confident people are in accomplishing their goals. And so, you know, there's definitely work to be done.
Well, I would agree with that. There is work to be done. As a coach, how can you help women who are impacted? You were mentioning some examples, and I was thinking, you know, it seems to me women are doing better in the business world, though. We, you know, there's some very high-powered women in the world of business that we hear a lot about and read a lot about these days. So the situation is getting a little bit better. Wouldn't you agree to that?
Yes, and I would say we have a long way to go. So it is definitely getting better. And and when women, when there isn't a culture war anymore, there won't be a question about whether or not you're a woman in a role. It'll just be about, are you getting access to funding, or are you getting promoted, or what's your chances of getting promoted, or are you able to reach your goals? And the sexualization is going to be, you know, kind of out of it. I mean, I coach people on executive presence, and right now we're living in a world where if you wear makeup to work, you're more likely to get promoted. If you don't wear makeup to work, you're less likely to be harassed. So you're kind of in a double bind. Or maybe we're coaching on just, you know, interviewing. And if you're funny in an interview, or if you're funny in a presentation, if you're a male, you're more likely to be perceived positively. If you use humor in a presentation when you're female, you're less likely to be perceived positively. People assume that they can't take you seriously. So there are cultural standards for men and women that are different. And until we address those, women are going to be in a situation where it helps to work with a coach to understand, hey, how do I show up here? And how do I show up powerfully and positively in a world that sees men and women differently?
What do you tell women, you know, in that kind of situation, when they're wondering exactly how they ought to show up? What kind of advice do you give them?
Well, as a coach, I'm not in the business of giving advice, but what I can sometimes offer opinions when people ask, and I always offer them with open hands saying, you know, what's going to be the best for you? There's a great resource that I would recommend to women who are in careers and are trying to figure out, how do I show up, written by a woman's leadership expert, Sally Helgeson, and she teamed up with one of the world's best business coaches and executive coaches, Marshall Goldsmith, and they wrote a book called How Women Rise, and it is about breaking the 12 habits holding you back from your next raise, promotion, or job. And they're not paying me to give them a plug for this one, but it's a great resource for women who are thinking about, what do I do to advance professionally?
Right.
I also really admire Elevest, which is a company that helps women with understanding, you know, and investing financially. It's a great woman-owned organization. The founder is Sally Krawcheck, and she's the CEO. And she is very much about empowering women financially. She wrote Own It, The Power of Women at Work, and that's also a really good resource for professional women.
Very good. Very good. That's good advice. What, one other quick question. What about the media? How does the media influence the culture war on women? Women? Do you think it does? And if so, how?
Yeah, I do think that the media is definitely involved in promulgating the culture war on women. And you know, when you look at visual media and music and video, I mean, first of all, the biggest video market is the porn market. It's absolutely stunningly, overwhelmingly more, makes more money than other video. And even when you're not in an illegal industry, the film industry has really shown up in terms of how women are seen and how women are, you know, whether or not they even have a female heroine in the role. Less than a quarter of films have a female heroine. Only 23% of fictional on-screen workforce are made up of women employees. So, I mean, women are outnumbered by male characters when it comes to characters that are adding value in terms of professional value. So attorneys and judges, professors, doctors, women are twice as likely as males to be shown sexualized, like either not wearing clothes or wearing few clothes, or very, you know, women are referenced for physical attractiveness 5 times as much as male characters in films. I mean, women are hypersexualized in films. And it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're from you're a teenager all the way up to in your older ages, you know, the issues then are, you know, you're too old to be sexy. So, I mean, it's absolutely the film industry plays a part in how culture sees women, and the music industry plays a part in how the culture sees women, not only in terms of are women in leadership roles where they are advancing in offstage roles or in producer roles, and what percentage of the industries have women in production, but also there was a study done at Brigham Young University that talk about how lyrics push sexualization, and that has accelerated exponentially. And so what you heard in the 60s was really nowhere near as sexualized as what you hear now. And hip-hop music, it really pushes the sexualization of an objectification of women, and even to the point where there's abuse of women that are in the lyrics that, that's out there. So culture is participating, and people are buying this stuff, and they're not really paying attention to what's going into their brains. And because of that, they're participating in this culture that is opposing them, right, and objectifying them and seeing them as less than a male. And they're just, we need to, I think part of the reason for doing this chapter is to build awareness about those kind of things.
Well, I think it's obviously a very valid chapter to have in the book. The book, again, is called Life Beyond Me Too. It's by our guest, Christine Rose, and it's coming out. Again, so when folks have an idea, I know it's not out yet, but it's about to come out. When do you expect it to be available? What would your best guess on that be?
My guess is 2019, so that's all I can say. We're shooting for 2019. It's in the editing stage. One of the things, as they said, it's just too long. We have to shorten it because people don't buy. There's too much good research in it. So we have to just shorten it to make it something that people can actually read. So that's
Do they tell you you have too many pages? Do you have to cut it down because you have too many pages?
I have to cut it down because it was just too very well-researched book, and it needs. I need to cut out some examples and cut it down to make it a little more readable for the average reader. So that's
for a writer, that's the hardest thing to do. Once you've done all this work and you've written, what you think is a gem, but when you have to start cutting out, that's when it hurts. You say, I worked too hard to get that, and I know
we're
I understand exactly
well.
What you're going through.
Yeah. It will be out there, but the way that people can stay engaged now and get information is to go to the Facebook page Life Beyond Me Too, and we will definitely be announcing when there are pre-orders and the whole story of how it's coming out there on that Facebook page.
Has it been a fun experience for you writing the book, or a challenge? How do you answer that?
Oh, it's been an eye-opener. The goal of the book is to help facilitate conversations that will lead to change so that we can have a safer world. I say in the book, so we can have a new normal where we don't have a culture that demeans and that is violent against half of the people on the planet. We just don't want
That's a great goal.
So that's the goal of the book. And
that's a great goal.
I'm hoping that
great goal.
At least it'll have some conversation started. Thank you, Doug.
All right, Christine. Well, listen, that's great. I love chatting with you. We've gone through 30 minutes here. And again, Christine has her Facebook page. You got to go there to learn more about the book. Or the website, ChristineRose.coach. Christine will be back with us again same time next week, so rejoin us, folks. Jim Masters will be hosting Christine, and we all look forward to that as well. Christine, thanks. I loved having you as a guest, and have a great day, okay? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Doug.
You're welcome, and that'll do it.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.
Well, have a great day, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Till then, take care of yourself, and bye for now.